morning, everybody. Go look a long night in the front. It's a beautiful morning. I think we're in for a hot week, according to the Bureau of Meteorology. And that's okay, it's the nature of our country. It brings all kinds of weather, as we know. I was once about 100 metres below the summit of Mount Kosciuszko in late November, early December, camping overnight, believe it or not. Late November, early December, and the temperature was about minus 10. Why am I telling you that? We're going to sing a song that has a line in it, "My Saviour, my Redeemer, lifted me from the miry clay." And that speaks to me of something that Jesus has done for us that is unchangeable. And regardless of the weather of our lives, He is always present to us, always available, always guiding us, always leading us, regardless of our circumstances. Let's stand and sing together.
Thank you. share some stuff, so she's going to jump down the front. Today we're looking at the Transfiguration, or as the Orthodox Church would call it, Transformation Sunday. Transformation Sunday. So Sam has got something he wants to show us. Come up here, Sam, and you're not going to be able to see it very well from where you are. Hold it up high and see if you... It's a robot man. Who's ever heard of the Transformers?
Transformers, the power of the moon.
So Sam, tell me about this.
It's a man that makes transform into a pterodactyl-like creature.
All right, let's see it. Come on. Time starts now. There we go. Okay, here's a quick fire round too. Hold it up. Woohoo! There you go. That's a cute looking critter. Oh, sorry about that. So, Transformers. Thank you, Sam. That was pretty cool. So, there's some things. So, kids, transforming is that change. So, I thought I'd do some things here that would help us think about change. All right. So, options for the man. So we'll get back to that. So that's a good group of people. Also, we've got this Friday. What's happening this Friday? 24th Friday, friends, yes. And that's good. You'll notice in the correct one is Brunella East College. We have some Japanese students coming across. So if you'd like to earn a bit of money, but also make some great connections. And we have received an email from the college who said, you know, we're writing to you because we have such a good relationship with you. Oh, that's very nice. So again, if you've got a spare room and you're thinking, man, I need some incentive to clean this room, think about the next student. Coming along, Japanese student, that'd be really good. I don't think that's it, but again, look at your grant money. If you haven't got one, there's some copies. I will create some copies of the letter in case you didn't get one by email. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask. Colleen? Oh, no, so we've got some copies of the letter that was sent out during the week regarding the meds. If you haven't got your hands on one of those, please do. And I think that's really all from me. Except David would like to just sum up the last one from me.
Just a reminder about Wednesday night, and there's been a note in the grapevine as well. I've titled it Quiet Hour also. So it's actually not a formal service as such, it's just time to set aside as we begin our journey into Lent. And past experience for me, my journey through Lent has sometimes centered around Psalm 22 and those words that begin it, my God, why have you forsaken me? And there's a profound story in that psalm. And in my thinking and understanding and learning, there's a huge reason why Jesus spoke those words, apart from the suffering, which was obviously in the text. So if you're free, 7 o'clock on Wednesday night, no obligation to come. But just to help me, can you stick your hand up if you think you're planning to come? I'm in the process of planning and doing some copying stuff. Okay, cool, thank you. That's very helpful. Let's sing as we bring our offerings and continue to bring ourselves to the Lord. We sing a great old hymn, and let it be.
I'm not afraid.
so again, Lord, we bring as an offering to you this morning, God, ourselves and our finances, and pray that you would use them for the sake of your kingdom and to your glory as we seek to live your life here at the Vines and reach out beyond these walls. So we commit everything we do, including our offerings, to you. Our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please take a seat.
Good morning. The Apostle Paul recognized the affirming impact of prayer, especially for others. He urged believers to prepare for battle against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You'll find this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Let us pray. Let us pray and give thanks for this day. Let us pray for our community, those who are suffering from many ailments, sickness, bereavement, loss of job, mental illness. Give them peace, Lord. Let us pray also for doctors, nurses, social workers, ambulance personnel, police officers, and others working in the front line. Give them wisdom, peace, and protection. Let us pray for the areas of the world where there is unrest, war, especially in Ukraine. We pray for peace, and we remember at this time the miners, especially in Queensland, who lost their lives. We pray for their families and their grief. Let us pray for the earthquake survivors in Turkey and their families. Give them peace and survival. We pray also for the bushfires in Port Lincoln and the firefighters. Give them rest and peace. Let us pray for the vision and the future of our church, the Vines. Our minister David Cry and his family, the leaders of the teams, pastoral, community outreach, worship, homeowners. We also pray for the schools and the chaplains in this community. Give them the vision to be able to reach both the teachers and the children. And let us pray for the wider church and the leaders. Let us pray for our country, Australia, and its leaders, as well as our state of South Australia and its premier. Let us just pause and pray silently for those in our hearts and on our hearts. Let us pray as our Lord Jesus taught us to pray when his disciples to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and
hath been raised from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Part-time position, but his heart's out north, and so he's doing lots of different jobs in interacting with Hope Street, and a whole lot of school chaplaincy stuff as well as working with the church. So that's just a bit of news for you guys. Yes, Transformation Sunday. So it's Transfiguration. And I like the two readings we had that Jackie read so well. You had the original account of the Gospels, you know, and then you have Peter writing and remembering those events and saying, hey, look, this is really a powerful experience of these two things. Now, last week we were talking about mistakes, weren't we? And I think most of us put our hands up as if to suggest we make mistakes. And I guess for all of us, we make mistakes in different ways. Some of them can be quite funny, some embarrassing, and a whole lot of stuff. When I was at the Royal Adelaide Hospital, as a chaplain, one of the training doctors asked me to do his wedding for him. So I did the wedding, and that went off beautifully, no hitches. Signed all the papers, that went off. Everything went really well. I had a beautiful reception up at one of the hotels up in the hills. Beautiful panoramic view over the city. Had a beautiful wedding cake, and that went well. And there was a black forest cake. You ever had black forest cake wedding cake? Beautiful. And I picked up this piece of cake, and my daughter was with me. She was only a little square. And so the two of us had a beautiful black forest wedding cake. And as I'm walking back to my chair, somehow I stumbled, and I dropped the cake, and then I stuck my foot. Straight through the cake. Next slide picks this up beautifully. There was a big size 10 foot through my black forest cake. And it was such a mess. And while I could clean up the mess and the cake and everything else, I guess it was very hard to clean the horror off my daughter's face. Just, what was happening? What are you doing there? But anyway, it's so part of our, I guess, the reason I mention that is, whenever we come across Peter in the New Testament, that's a big flag for you to think, Peter's going to say something dumb, do something dumb, and it's the sort of thing that I would do or say myself. So he's our representative, if you like. He's the guy who's going to say the things we always wanted to say, but we're too embarrassed or not sure about. He just says it. Maybe it's part of that fisherman and whatever. So, Transfiguration was a pivotal point in the ministry of Jesus. And we have Jesus being surrounded with this dazzling light on this mountaintop. And there you get the prophets of old, the old leaders from the time of the people of Israel, who were identified as being the key leaders, and they appear with Jesus. And it's almost like a handing over the mantle. It's almost like now Jesus is the one. No longer are the prophets. They're important, sure, but Jesus is the one you need to listen and see. And we're told that the disciples were dazzled by this light. And one of the things that Moses and Elijah spoke to Jesus about was about his departure. So there's a bit of the shadow of the cross coming through the Transfiguration. So his ministry from then on is going to be shadowed by his death. And that was something that the disciples really struggled with, as you can imagine. One of the things that was spoken about in this next line is that Jesus would be the one who was going to be the leader through the new exodus. So when they're talking about departure, one of the words actually refers to exodus, like, you know, when Moses took the people through the Red Sea and they escaped slavery and death. Well, Jesus is doing the same thing for us. And making that transition from death to life. Through the waters of destruction, Jesus brings us life and hope. And this is our message still, isn't it? This is what we are witnesses to. That against all despair and all hardship, there is hope. And that hope is that Jesus overcame even death. So, this is where Peter comes to play. So, in the next slide, Peter says, hey, wouldn't it be great, Jesus, if we set up three tents, you know, maybe booths, maybe we could charge people to go up the top and, you know, make some money. Now, I'm not sure if he was seriously talking or thinking about travelling down the mountain, which was about 1,500 metres, and then going back up and trying to build tents. He just blurred. What was he really thinking? He just didn't think anything. He just, there's three over here, let's make tents, and we can all come and worship at this mountain. Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He shut his mouth off without any thinking. What was that all about? So, I guess Peter's motivation was a mixture of stuff, wasn't it? He's in the presence of these Moses and Elijah, these two renowned prophets, with Jesus, and he's overwhelmed. We're told that he was afraid. And it's funny how many times fear tends to feature in the New Testament. Like Mary and the shepherds, all overcome with fear. And then you've got the disciples. So it's very much a real experience for them. And partly, I guess, it's part of this transformation where the disciples go from seeing Jesus as a teacher to actually the Messiah. It's like, wow. And I guess that fear was a connection and a realization that all the boxes they tried to put Jesus in were not big enough to hold him in. Now, it's very easy, isn't it, that in our journey of life we make lots of assumptions. And like I keep saying, you know, having come through COVID, if anybody says we can't do anything, I just laugh. Because the amount of times we adjusted and adapted and changed the last 3 years means that we're all very flexible individuals, even if we like to get back into our comfy art boots and our comfy chair and just whatever, you know what I'm saying. When I was at the United Theological College in India, Bangalore, with an American lecturer, we had some American lecturers, and one of his great sayings, one of the great sayings he had was that, look, he talked about complacency. He said, do you want to see God? And all the Indian students and myself were going, yes, we'd be very impressed. Please show us. He said, well, do you want to see God? He said, I will show you God. Watch. And he put his hand in his pocket. Said, the God of the pocket. And we all go, God of the pocket? What's he mean? Really, what he was saying is that sometimes people think that God is so small they can fit God in their pockets. That's picking up some of this slide. How many times do people talk about God as if God is some little thing that we can fit in our pocket? And maybe, you know, as we go through our lives, we get so used to the concept of God, it becomes complacent, and we just think, God can fit on a mantelpiece next to our Bible. You know, God, so small, so manageable. One of the reasons the people of Israel never mentioned God's name was because they thought that to mention a name meant to own it. Interesting idea, isn't it? How many people talk as if they know God? All about God. There's no mystery. Anyone know God? Well, I can tell you about God. I've met a number of people who seem to know more about God than God does. Yeah, it's amazing. David Phillips wrote a book called Your God Is Too Small. And the next slide picks up this quote. The trouble with many people today, and this is written 30 years ago, or maybe even further. The trouble with many people today is that they have not found God big enough for modern needs. While their experience of life has grown in a score of directions, and their mental horizons have been expanded to the point of bewilderment by world events and by scientific discoveries, their ideas of God have remained largely static. It's almost like the more advanced and developed we get, the more diminished God becomes. And I guess for many people, that that's the case, isn't it? In fact, I turned on my car today and John Lennon's song, you know, imagine all the people, you know, if there wasn't a heaven or hell, if it was just sky above, if there was no nations, you know, imagine all the people just living for today. And the sad thing about that is, you know, for me, faith is that thing that actually allows us to more fully enter into today. So for many people, it's just skew if. For me, life has become more fuller through faith, not more diminished. And it seems like, it's almost like, the other way to say that is maybe the longer we're Christians, the more complacent we get about what God can do. Do you think that's the case? Or, maybe again, a person say, yes, the older I've got, the smaller God's got. I would really be very impressed if you did that. But there's a sense in which part of that challenge as Christians is that we get so comfortable with the good news that it has less of an impact than maybe once did. And for the disciples, they struggle with this, they are walking around with Jesus. So this is not meant to shame you or feel bad, it's just reality. Which is, as human beings, just get comfortable. And that's okay, because I would hate being out for COVID every year for the next 20 years. Like that would seriously be unhealthy. Too much. So, transforming Sunday is really recognizing that we have to keep on our toes. And that's why we have a liturgical season that stops for Easter and Christmas. Because we need to stop and remember and go, yes, that's right. That's what this is about. This is what we're doing. That's why we're here. So that's part of this journey we're on. And part of the transformation means that it's a journey that we are going on for our lives. I came across an interesting, very busy slide. And I like the idea. And a number of times I've felt that, you know, we should all have an orange tape around us because we're a bit of a construction site. And, maybe that's what we should put some orange tape around and do not enter, beware. Probably lots of people coming in for a look. No, that's what happens, isn't it? You say don't enter and everybody comes in, particularly Australians. What is this? Who are we? But it's a sense in which, again, we're trying to remember that we do not know it all. And that's okay, because God's at work in our lives. We just need to continue to open our hearts to God. And there's things that get changed. Our emotions, our anxiety, depression, fear, pain, whatever it might be. Now thinking, all these things take time to work out because new stuff is happening all the time. So we're having to adapt and adjust all the time. And that's why, collectively as a group of people, we gather and try and help each other through this stuff. When the disciples were confronted with Jesus, they fell to the ground, overcome with fear. But Jesus came and said to them, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they raised their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus alone himself. You know, I think, I always say to people, never make decisions out of fear. And I think sometimes in our lives, fear and uncertainty is one of those things that different stages of life are more profound. And at different times in their life are more profound. It depends where you live. If you're living in Europe, fear and uncertainty is a significant thing at this moment. And part of the heart of the gospel is really coming back to remembering that the presence of Christ is here with us, and it's through prayer that we connect into that. Prayer is a vibrant, vital part of our journey. And that is where we connect in with this love that sustains us. Okay, enough from me. I'd like you to take some time by yourself or turn to the person next to you and say, well, what is one thing you're connecting with? One point you like, one point you vigorously disagree with. I really don't mind. Turn to the person next to you. What is it you're connecting with? Go, I'll call you back. share a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love that continues to want to change us. We ask that we might be continuing to open to this exciting, life-changing thing, regardless of what age we are, regardless of how long we've traveled the road. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Back in 1977, I had an event, God event in my life that I would describe as transformational. Today, 1977, how long ago was that? It's not quite 50 years. But what I've discovered across the years since is that the transformation is continuing. When I'm perfectly honest with myself, I stuff up every day. There's a day goes by that something's not going on up here or coming out of my mouth or in my actions. And that's not me whipping myself at all, because as I said earlier in the service, God is present to us. And the transfigured, dying, resurrected, ascended Jesus is present. And I think Fiona said something on Thursday night at our practice about God loving us.
Jesus loves us just as we are. Yeah, God loves us just as we are, but he loves us too much to leave us there. That's the natural kind of thing.
It's transformational, it's lifelong, and it doesn't stop until we turn up our toes, if I can be so crude. That's the beauty of God present to us. Let's stand and sing.
Oh, as you drive around and see orange cones and tape, lots of reminders as you put your hand in your pocket. What is it you find in there? How big is your God? There you go and serve the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with each one of you now and forever. Amen.
Now, just a reminder, if you'd like someone to pray with you following the service or whatever.